Chapter 24. You have any problem entering? Your security system is good. Not great, but good enough to discourage most burglars and juvenile vandals. That mean I flunked the test? Not entirely. I'd grade you a C+. Pitt moved very slowly to an antique oak icebox he'd rebuilt into a liquor cabinet and eased open the door. Would you like a drink, Mr. Cascio? A shot of Jack Daniels on ice, thanks. A lucky guess, I happen to have a bottle. I peeked, said Cascio. Oh, and by the way, I took the liberty of removing the clip from the gun. Gun? Pitt asked innocently. The 32 caliber Mauser automatic, serial number 922374, cleverly taped behind the half-gallon bottle of gin. Pitt gave Cascio a long look indeed. How long did it take? To make a search? Pitt nodded silently as he opened the refrigerator door for the ice. About 45 minutes. And you found the other two guns I squirreled away? 3, actually. You're very thorough. Nothing that is hidden in a house can't be found, and some of us are more talented at probing than others. It's simply a matter of technique. There was nothing boastful in Cascio's tone. He spoke as though merely stating an accepted truth. Pitt poured the drink and brought it into the living room on a tray. Cascio took the glass with his right hand. Then suddenly Pitt dropped the tray, exposing a small vest-pocket 25-caliber automatic aimed at Cascio's forehead. Cascio's only reaction was a thin smile. Very good, he said approvingly. So there were a total of 5. Inside an empty milk carton, Pitt explained. Nicely done, Mr. Pitt. A clever touch, waiting until my gun hand was holding a glass. That shows you were thinking. I'll have to mark you up to a B-. Pitt clicked on the safety and lowered the gun. If you came here to kill me, Mr. Cascio, you could have blown me away when I stepped through the door. What's on your mind? Cascio nodded down at his briefcase. May I? Go ahead. He set the drink down, opened the case, and pulled out a bulging cardboard folder that was held together with rubber bands. A case I've worked on since 1966. A long time. You must be a stubborn man. I hate to let go of it, Cascio admitted. It's like walking away from a jigsaw puzzle before it's completed, or putting down a good book. Sooner or later, every investigator gets on a case that has him staring at the ceiling nights, the case he can never solve. This one has a personal tie, Mr. Pitt. It began 23 years ago when a girl, a bank teller by the name of Arta Casiligio, stole $128,000 from a bank in Los Angeles. How can that concern me? She was last seen boarding a ship called the San Marino. Okay, so you read the press story about the shipwreck discovery? Yes. And you think this girl disappeared with the San Marino? I'm certain of it. Then your case is solved. The thief is dead and the money gone forever. Not that simple, said Cascio, staring into his glass. There's no doubt Arta Casiligio is dead, but the money is not gone forever. Arta took freshly printed currency from the Federal Reserve Bank. All serial numbers were recorded, so it was an easy matter to account for the missing bills. Cascio paused to look over his glass into Pitt's eyes. 2 years ago, the missing money finally turned up. Sudden interest flared in Pitt's eyes. He sat down in a chair facing Cascio. All of it? He asked cautiously. Cascio nodded. It appeared in dribbles and spurts. 5,000 in Frankfurt, 1,000 in Cairo, all in foreign banks. None came to light in the United States except $100 bill. Then Arta didn't die on the San Marino. She vanished with the ship, all right. The FBI connected her to a stolen passport belonging to an Estelle Wallace. With that lead, they were able to follow her as far as San Francisco. Then they lost her. I kept digging and finally ran down a drifter who sometimes drove a cab when he needed booze money. He remembered hauling her to the boarding ramp of the San Marino. Can you trust the memory of a lush? Cascio smiled confidently. Arta gave him a crisp new $100 bill for the fare. He couldn't make change, so she told him to keep it. Believe me, it took little effort for him to recall the event. If stolen Federal Reserve currency is in FBI jurisdiction, where do you fit in the picture? Why the dogged pursuit of a criminal whose trail is ice cold? Before I shortened my name for business reasons, it was Castellaggio. Arda was my daughter. There was an uncomfortable silence. From outside the windows overlooking the river came the rumble of a jetliner taking off. Pitt stood up and went into the kitchen, where he poured a cup of coffee from a cold pot and placed it in a microwave oven. "Care for another drink, Mr. Cascio?" Cascio shook his head. "So the bottom line is that you think there's something queer about your daughter's disappearance. She and the ship never made port, but the money she stole turns up in a manner that suggests it's being laundered a little at a time. Doesn't that suggest a queer circumstance to you, Mr. Pitt?"
"I can't deny you make a good case."
The microwave beeped and Pitt retrieved a steaming cup. "But I'm not sure what you want from me." "I have some questions." Pitt sat down, his interest going beyond mere curiosity. "Don't expect detailed answers."
"I understand."
"Fire away."
"Where did you find the San Marino? I mean, in what part of the Pacific Ocean?"
"Near the southern coast of Alaska," Pitt replied vaguely.
"A bit far off the track for a ship steaming from San Francisco to New Zealand, wouldn't you say?"
"Way off the track," Pitt agreed.
"As far as 2,000 miles?
"And then some."
Pitt took a swallow of coffee and made a face. It was strong enough to use as brick mortar. He looked up.
"Before we continue, it's going to cost you."
Cascio gave him a reappraising eye.
"Somehow you never struck me as the type who'd extend a greasy palm."
"I'd like to have the names of the banks in Europe that passed the stolen money."
"Any particular reason?" Cascio asked, not bothering to conceal his puzzlement.
"None I can tell you about."
"You're not very cooperative."
Pitt started to reply, but the phone on an end table rang loudly.
"Hello?"
"Dirk, this is Yeager. You still awake?"
"Thank you for calling. How is Sally? Is she out of intensive care yet?"
"Can't talk, huh?"
"Not too well."
"But you can listen."
"No problem."
"Bad news. I'm not getting anywhere. I'd stand a better chance of throwing a deck of cards in the air and catching a straight flush."
"Maybe I can knock down the odds. Hold on a minute."
Pitt turned to Cascio.
"About that list of banks."
Cascio slowly rose, poured himself another shot of Jack Daniels, and stood with his back to Pitt.
"A trade-off, Mr. Pitt. The bank list for what you know about the San Marino."
"Most of my information is government classified."
"I don't give a damn if it's stenciled on the inside of the president's jockey shorts. Either we deal or I pack up and hike."
"How do you know I won't lie?"
"My list could be phony."
"Then we'll just have to trust each other," said Pitt with a loose grin.
"The hell we will," grunted Cascio.
"But neither of us has any choice."
He took a sheet of paper from the folder and handed it to Pitt, who in turn read off the names over the phone to Yeager.
"Now what?" Cascio demanded.
"Now I tell you what happened to the San Marino. And by breakfast, I may also be able to tell you who killed your daughter."